This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Olson, who just arrived. Yeah, he flew in this morning. Shut up. Don't use any of those yet. What are we doing here?
Well, why don't you pick up from where you last off? Where'd you leave off on Friday?
I was joining the Communist Party.
You were? All right, go ahead. Little started.
Let's start with the whole concert. Well, we had a part to be heard.
We will be.
No.
I'd like to turn it on the question of context. What language, in what context does language operate? So to speak, in terms of what is the ground that you need to walk on, in no metaphoric sense, but is it actually? And what is the distribution of church and all that experience come to? Supermarkets, things like this, where does language operate? Really, I think the first day we were here, the poems were still isolated from actual events, and so I'd like to take it not so much into the think of the whole business of what you can do with a poem as a kind of where you can put it or hang it on the wall, but what is history?
Why don't I kick it off by reading a short piece, which, as far as I know, is the last sort of feeling or thought of my own, as far as that goes, which was published in, it's written January 5th, 1962, I see, but was in Jugend 8, I think. It was called Place and Names. A place as term... Can you hear it? A place as term in the order of creation, and thus useful as a function of that equation. Example, that the place where the horse sacrifices go of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is worth more than a metropolis, or for that matter any moral concept, even a metaphysical one. And that this is so for physical and experiential reasons of the, which is the only thing I don't like in this thing, is the Philosophia perennis, or it isness of cosmos beyond those philosophies or religious or moral systems of rule, thus giving factors of naming, nominative power, and Landschaft, experience, geography, which stay truer to space-time than personalities or biographies of such terms as specific cities or persons, as well as the inadequacy to the order of creation of anything except names, including possibly mathematics? A question like that. The crucialness being that these places or names be as parts of the body, common and capable, therefore, of having cells which can decant total experience, no selection other than one which is capable of this commonness, permanently duplicating, will work. Story, in other words, is if not superior, at least equal to ultimate mathematical language, perhaps superior because of cellness. In any case, history, as to be understood by Duncan's law to mean A, histology, and B, story, applies here in this equational way and severely at the complementarity of cosmos, complementary to individual or private, and not to cities or events in the way it has in a mistaken secondary way been understood. talk to myself.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No, no. Well, let's find out. Then. Let's find out. Let's see if we can make you understand.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what's that about? What's that all about?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, what's Duncan's Law? I never heard of Duncan's Law.
Well, I immediately stated. Obviously the word history is a word, unless you take it to a root, which doesn't have any use at all. And the root is the original first use of it in the first chapter, if not the first paragraph of Herodotus, in which he says, I'm using this as a verb historin, which means to find out for yourself. And this is why I've been all over the goddamn Middle East and down into Egypt, been taught by the great fathers of Egypt, the ancient learning, and have learned everything I possibly can about the Persian War, and I'm going to tell you about it. So what he starts off to tell you about is history before the Trojan War, which is how the first Helen was taken by somebody and brought out from some place to that place, and then there was trouble because this woman was seized by these plundering sailors, and that was the beginning of that. So that you get, in fact, in the moment of the invention of the word, you get almost the moment of the invention of some supposed division between Europe and Asia. It's a very curious fact that we, you can even peg the thing down to the word's moment of first use and the division of the so-called continent on one side and the continent that's coming on the other. And what Duncan did is seen to me was that a letter?
No, we were talking. We were just asking why we were concerned with this.
No, but I saw it on paper.
Oh, well, then
because he divided it into histology. It's what? It's a hell of a lot farther than any pun ever was. Histology, or the study of self. Yeah?
Of cells.
Yeah. And story. Story in the sense that the only thing that really counts, again, is what's so exciting. After all, Herodotus goes around and finds everything he can find out, and he tells the story. It's one of the reasons why I trust him more, than Thucydides, who basically is reporting an event. We all go through this all the time, don't we? I mean, we have the Thucydidean, and clearly not too long ago, if you went to war, you had a story. Oh boy, I mean, isn't it so every war supposed to produce a new literature, I guess? Well, it'll produce a Thucydidean literature. But a good old-fashioned man like he wrote this, he just wanted to find out really what was up, what's going on, what was said about the thing, and in fact, as you well know, he's talking about a war that the Greeks went through themselves, one generation earlier, the Persian War. So I don't think that idea of breaking that word so that we don't talk about a concept history. That's why I offered the damn thing, is to break up that word immediately. Break it back to either a verb of Herodotus, which as some of you know, I put a whole lot of weight on in working on a long poem, like I said. And I found that when Robert took that split, and did introduce the idea that the minuteness that you're after is the histology, and the result that you may come up with is story. Okay? Because honestly, many of the conversations we've had, yeah, as I said to you last night, is all political history. And unless I'm in great error, political has to turn out to be also an etymon of great power, which is a word which I don't want to mention, right? But it is the word on which the word politics also exists.
As opposed to proposing.
Either we're men of language in the real sense, that language is the life that we're producing. And by God, to my mind, the event of language, I would say that the thing that we're after is etymons, all over the place. Etymon, the right word. Yeah. The word in its rightness of its root, not at all the usages, the behaviors of the word, but the actual thing that it is, yeah, and that thing in itself is where we really have a chance to put our hand out and grab a hold of something. Otherwise, we're simply getting caught in an event, either of the society, which is one form of what's boringly called history, or the event of ourselves, which is also that damn boring thing called personal history. Now, mind you, at any other point, if I could support it, I think the piece can be always exposed by the same rule of order, it is logographic. It's made up of words. That piece is made up of words.
Was history made out of words too?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. History is made out.
Everybody knows.
Then we've missed the point again.
This is an event in words.
I mean,
it's different from an event in history.
You go in and you see, literally, you walk into a room and you see what's there.
Yeah.
And then from what you see, histology is literally documented.
That's direct personal perception of what's
there.
Yeah.
And from that context, you tell the story of what's there.
This swings back to the other day. Someone here said somebody asked a question about care and attention, and we did get that the only place you have any care or attention is right where you are in the poem or right where you are in the event. And it's this. What this isn't a root about this word. You've got to find your responsibility to the word that's right where you are, and you're wanting to know where did I get it as part of the care and attention of the word. And the event in history has that same care and attention. That's why you're misled if you're asked to participate in an event where it isn't there, which you're always asked. This is the great shuffle game of cards. How do you feel about, but you aren't there?
Yeah, listen, now somebody was saying the other day that there is actually nothing happening except what's happening here or to us, and that everything that's happening on the radio and on television and in the newspapers is unreal.
No, you don't know anything about it. It's nothing about it being unreal.
You can't
be responsible to any event except the one you're in. Now, it can happen. You don't slide it around with the business like it isn't there, because there's plenty that's not there that you can't possibly be responsible for. When you go the other way, you just simply find yourself not even caring for where you are.
No, but I'm trying
to know you're
what
here.
What was the context that was said? Was
like a TV set.
Who was saying that? Who said that?
That
did you say that?
Fun
did you
say
that?
I was struck by it.
Let's
say, taking into the context, what is this dilemma in terms of this context was that he was traveling, he was trying to make up the city. And he was trying, in fact, he was doing three ways. He was involved with histology, but then he got involved with concepts, prior to looking. In other words, it's like it's the difference between saying, I know what's there, but you don't know what's there unless you're walking in the particulars of what's there or here. There's no there in this context of history. There's only here. You can only walk in the facts of that event or anything. You can only walk in the facts, and from the facts,
well, that means
story. Literally,
well, what do we do then? What is called past history? It's not going on right
there's
now.
No past history.
There's no place the past can take place except right now, when we consider it. The past has no other existence. It has only existence as it is right present. I've quoted enough times Whitehead's Lovely, the Congress of Saints is a great and august body, and it has no place to meet except right here. It has no place else in the universe to meet. It can only happen now.
Analysis.
The future can only happen now is what we're... But either, both of these things are very, very real only because they're present. You're not going into the past when you find out where did I get that word, because that's a where. That when and where is immediate. And also, what is this word? Since the word is not yours, and your participation in it has got to be it's got to be seen just as if you were making an operation on a body. You know, I mean.
So we don't have to be hung up then with what supposedly.
Well, you asked about why laws and why order. A surgeon opening a body really damn well does not go in there and mess things around for some expressive design. Self-expressive thing, although, you know, fancy movies show us the mad surgeon about to do big things. But,
In other words, I don't have to worry about...
Well, it's fun because Alan said that to me, that he was, he thought the only thing that he wanted to do, like one of the things, besides joining the Communist Party, was to go to Laos, and not at all to see a war, but to see, is there a war there? Was it a war? Is it?
Yeah.
Whatever. What is it? What is
it? Find out what actually is happening.
And that seems the real act which one is talking about here, which is you just want to find out for yourself what really this whole thing amounts to by, and the only way you can do it is go there. I told that story in Glutted Acrylic. I walked into a store in Lerma, Yucatan one night. And I get some cigarettes, and the people had closed those double doors, but I knocked. I see the lights sort of crack, and they allowed it was a gringo, so they let me in. And the husband and wife were just knocking off for the night, and they were looking at this Mexico City paper, and they had the thing turned. And they were utterly fascinated. For the first time, here was a television ad, double page, normal American spread, for TV, where it was one of those things pictured and something action on the screen. And the guy says, gee, you know, like, I had no Spanish, but I listened as well as I could. But he says, you know, you could tell us, yeah, you're an American. Posible video la guerra. I mean, with great excitement. This means we can all be watching the war going on the battlefield. It seemed to me the wayest out incitement of what you might call the natural human impulse, which you seem to be following by going to Laos, that was hoping that, gee, with this new thing, we can really all sit down and watch the goddamn thing being fought out. And in a curious way, that term was very exciting to me because I realized what expectations we all have from the facilities that are, and actually the great hunger is still that marvelous one to get there and find out.
Well,
and all is really going on at this moment, as far as any of us are concerned at this moment, is just what's going on here with all the recidivism or anything else that we've got.
Would there's a lovely text on about let's watch World War III on KTV before the television
melts.
Actually, I see, we're talking all the time at home, you know, so half the conversation is now elliptical here.
Right.
But what was linking up was we all came in and said we were all bankrupt to begin with. Like, our history was finished. Mine, say, as a beatnik, truly as a writer of exquisite little poems.
Go on.
Duncan, as a nasty old esthetician, and Olsen as some kind of father figure, has now become a great baby. And I don't know what's
going to
emerge out of monsters.
Monsters, any one of them?
This has really emerged from your we all.
So our history is finished, so now we've decided everybody's is.
Fight back!
I mean, has any objection to this? All past.
The
main thing that's happened in Ginsberg's world is that from a vocabulary that consisted of we and they, it has now gotten to the place where it's all we. And by the time we fit Ginsberg's boat with that twist, things look rather odd.
Well, I never wanted to be alone.
You were talking also about the stuff. I was persistently curious about fact that I couldn't get any support sense of history. I was a kid. I couldn't get any actual, even personal history of these women at the time. And I was very curious to know why history first. History is an attitude. History is a context, a way of dealing with reality, a way of recognizing reality. It seemed no longer interesting to these people in the usual classroom, because our whole order, as late as the 40s, at least, and say, oh, I'm out of reading school.
And you were trapped in history.
Yeah, history was the justification of all attitudes.
We're back to the old
history. Again, the word has slipped away from what we were trying to do.
Let's clear it away and talk about the cell in the story.
I've got to go to
the point in the story.
What is this is a measure. There's no longer accurate. I'm curious to know why. Well, Charleston was saying the other evening, for example, lacking analysts in the state. The Secretary of Defense can now, by all measures that exist, and they are pretty accurate in terms of the needs relationship, or needs areas of concern, they are pretty accurate, can now say nothing will or can.
Well, it's a beautiful, I think many of you must have seen it, because I twist it a little bit, because what I do say, he says, is that nothing is going to happen to us in our lives. So, it isn't quite what he said, but as far as I can see, it's just exactly, it's a guarantee that there will be nothing, really. All our worries and fears and the danger has been really organized and set aside so that there is nothing in our lifetime. And it's said with that, really, I mean, you just really think, well, yeah, I guess you probably know, like, number one, and two, I guess you're in the position, if you're there, you is the guy we expect him to write this guarantee. Yeah. And he does come out of the Second World War, he learned all that new comptometry that developed in the Air Force ordering service of the Second World War, and he proved that you can take that thing anywhere. Well, he took it here now. That seems to me to pair exactly again with what that song you're quoting and the expectation of those wonderful lemeros.
Or back to what we can
save all the trouble. Really. We can save all the trouble. We can cut across and be free from any of that stuff.
So it's a double action. This again reinforces the sense that there is no other occasion, no other reference or measure except that which is to find out for yourself. There's nothing that can propose a reference beyond this concept. And what I'm trying to say is that you're getting from two sides. I mean, first of all, as a
but not but let me interrupt you. Said I think there's one dirty thing that's happened now to that thing, that finding out for yourself. It's got a patent on it, yeah. And it sounds as though that if you find out for yourself, you then can do anything. To some extent, it's true. One of the exciting things I think that Alan is referring to when he says we're all bankrupt is that we all have become really new in a crazy sense that we have this patent, and I my own experience is that most everyone, say in this room, already has proved. That they do have plenty of competence to do some things which they do remarkably and better, probably, than single individuals of the human race did just a short while ago. In practically any other form, I mean it in your word, context, I think, a thing which held or proposed or supported or shaped. Like McNamara does not support us in that remarkable protection, right? It just doesn't support us at all. In fact, on the contrary, it accomplishes the end of destruction, which is it destroys us sitting right here. I mean, it really just says, oh, well, we're all dreaming right through into some moment later when this sort of thing will have gone away. It's what is it? It's been wish magic. Brand new, modern wish magic. Just get rid of it.
It's not even postponed.
And I think there's a deep split. I mean, I would think there's a deep split. And the only thing that I'm interested in is, what do you do? What do you do that if you financing, that's okay. But there is a production point. What do you do that's interesting to somebody else?
Yeah, what, as Williams quote, you know, what do you do, but what are you doing now?
Well, I hate that participle. I mean, really, I think it's gone the other way entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
I can prove in case after case, I've seen it even over this weekend, people of absolute interest and importance in what they got their mind on or what they're doing. But then you ask me, let's take it on the basis of what we're here for. Show me your paper. And my judgment may be utterly wrong, but at least I can experience what you put on a piece of paper. And if that's what you're here for, then that at least is what we're here for to do. Again, we come back to the business. But this is the incidence of which we are a part at this moment. I think it's a big choice question here. Does anyone need to write? Why write? I mean, really, unless you do. I mean, and why do you write? I heard that the first day that Robert and Alan sat here saying exactly the mechanics of how they write. I mean, what they prefer to have around them or something, huh? Magic again. Setting. Huh? Right. What situation is the one that you like best? That's great. I mean, what else have we got to talk about? How is it that you are around that you get something done with? And if you don't produce writing, it's interesting. Then I'm sure you do. But you can do or ought to be doing or. Or haven't found out, even if maybe.
Well, suppose it came to Alan to write about the war in Laos that he hasn't taken the trouble to go look at.
It didn't get nothing to
write about.
What?
Suppose it occurred to him right now to write the war in Vietnam without going there to look at.
Yeah, he'd write something which is that. I mean, but I don't know if that's that, do you? That's that here and over there. Over there.
No, actually, what I would actually do would be to write about all the data coming to me as sort of illusory data, you know, about how mixed up I am by all the data coming to me on the radio and on television.
Right.
I make a big comic mess out of, you know, like one guy says one thing, another guy says another.
You were just walking down the street. He's journalist is Alan, or not journalist, you're from the Alan's writing.
The present event, in a sense, is also television coming in on us.
Yeah, sure. But I think now we're back at the very important thing that Duncan is talking about when he quotes that whitehead on the Congress of Saints. You are only capable of doing that because you are yourself in the experience of that other purpose. It isn't because you're a historian.
No.
Well, I mean it in the very high and the very best sense. It isn't because you're a historian. And it certainly
just goes all the way through. I mean, good has only one place to exist, and that's in you, or evil has only one place to exist, and that's in you. And most, when human beings want things not to exist, they say that over there is good, or that over there is evil. I mean, it's an act, not a thing so you really have to be going, you have to be enacting in order for this thing to be. Well, all right, so any place with any kind of data, including looking at or hearing Musos, what they say about it, you could want Laos to be happening, and Laos is happening on its own. I don't mean the solipsism of whatever that word, the hogwash. I don't mean the fact that since Laos got to happen in you, or happen in me for it to happen, but it's also going to be happening, because... Well, but you can be in the middle of even an explosion, if you're not interested, it isn't happening. For you, I mean, everybody else can watch you to pieces. You've got to and clap, but the thing Charles is talking about, when it's on paper, there the poem has really moved out so that not only I can look at a poem, but you could also look at a poem of yours. But the one thing that happens with poets is a lot of them, And especially in the beginning, the poem's there, then they aren't interested in the poem, so the poem, as far as they're concerned, the poem doesn't happen. I've had people's poems happen for me that never happened for the people concerned. Mm-hmm. Then they say, how did you see that in there? Yeah. Well, you say, well, if you'd look, you'd see something in there, but you're obviously not interested in the poem you wrote, which is interesting. Yeah. There's not a damn piece of writing that isn't interesting, except that some, when they get really... Where the writer's not interested, you just have to take that piece of writing what in the world are these words? what are they saying? The person who's saying it wasn't interested in what was there, and then you really do have to become a super detective, simply because everything's been obscured. There are 20 million interferences have happened. And what you do as a writer is be interested enough in what you're writing that these obstructions clear, and finally a person can lift it up and see what happened, and you can see what happened. But if you don't, only to the extent you see what happened, is somebody else going to see it. And the other kind of obscurity people talk about, the obscurity because they don't want to see what was there, that one all of us can forget about, because everything that we see in a poem, any other human being can see if they also are interested in that text. That's one thing. You decently go as far as you can to know as completely as you can. Oh, that guy Crick. What criterion is he? He thought science had the criterion of completeness, but it didn't. And sat home and said, what is completeness? Well, all right, but here we can say a poem can be given the same criterion that you are working toward, completely knowing what is present in this poem that you're looking at. And when you completely know, any other human being can, because it isn't a matter of clickety-clickety big brains, little brains. It's simply a matter of being concerned with the event that's there.
Do you find any inconsistency between what you said in
besides which, all I let's throw. I drew that picture, so I've already thrown it out myself as finding it interfering with any. Sure, but I mean, let's say, like I've thrown it out so many times that it's come back that I can draw it now all over again. Don't make bridges, inhabit those two until you find out what's happening.
There's no need for consistency.
Okay, you're going to sit down. No need
for consistency. Well, you were the one that wanted something consistent.
No, but I won't. Let's say we swing back. What do I do as you have to, this is rather good. She's seen me do that same thing before. After I do this little swing, and then I wonder it always seems to me like, boy, I hit it. How did I know that? And I guess maybe I've been drawing little diagrams of off and on for 4 years or so. Yeah, but I want to get back now to what she told me, because this has to do with knowing what... In other words, you've done what I said. I have been not looking at that. I've been drawing that little up and down. You've said, but I saw you do that. That's what criticism ought to be. I saw you do that before. Then you look and you say, well, if I did that before, and I think that also ought to be thrown out, what was going on when I was doing that? I mean, you know, let's not throw it out, but ask, what was I drawing? I have to ask that, and I can't answer it. I mean, but also, then that becomes my concern. In other words, at one level, I was so uninterested in what I was drawing here that it appeared as cycles of history, which actually I find out I really wouldn't have been very concerned with this. And that's part of what, anyway, that's what I meant about the job of looking at the poem. There's lots in anyone's poetry, in my poetry, there's lots I take for granted. And it's hardest to break through those areas of the poem that you've taken for granted, especially the ones where you've had successes before. Things that were really realized, they can reoccur, and they look sort of nice in the second reoccurrence, because you kind of know how to do that. It's just there. Not because it's, let's say, wrong to do it all over again, but because you've taken it for granted and haven't really been present as to what is happening this time when that thing happened.
I thought was happening when he was doing that, there was one point during that hour, toward the end, when he made the diagram of the Pindar poem,
and then had a line going up, and then all of a sudden there was a gap where he suddenly went kind of weird. And it was like a black ray coming out of his head, which I sensed, like it's sort of a supersonic vibration. And I was wondering, like, did anybody else get that? Well, then he was talking about how he, like a tarot deck or like tantra, he shuffles around his symbols or his cards or whatever it is that comes to hand, whatever that comes to hand during the writing of the poem, which was what he was doing when he was lecturing, the obsessional images or the habitual images or the immediate images of the moment that were coming to hand. He was shuffling them around, making little diagrams and talking about it and talking about it, until all of a sudden at the end point there was a very strange moment when he started stumbling, and when everybody, or when I began to understand him, which had nothing to do in a way with all the diagrams he was drawing, except that they were the way of invoking this jump out of them completely.
Okay. So then would you say that...
Is that right?
Yeah.
That is one form then of a non-historical, that is a form that fits within a non-historical view. Your modern wish, would this be a form of that would fit within...
Not if we get back to the particulars in the story. Not if we get back to each cell of the thing and the story, which
right,
is that pattern.
Absolutely.
And you know, this is the trouble. See, actually, I don't know. Bob and Alan said they were stuck in school in history, but the thing they in history in school they never saw history. They weren't stuck in Herodotus when they were stuck in history. They weren't stuck in the... Yeah, no, I don't want to talk about it. But this is what we're trying to get around, because there's a sure they're. Chronology, I guess they were in. What happened before what?
Along an arbitrary line of presence, a timeline, which may or may not characterize anything. Most probably not. All history is not.
I don't. Well, where do you get that word non-history? You said that. I don't think anybody had said that, right? What's non-history? I just didn't make, where'd that word come in, really, non-history?
I heard it.
You did too?
Yeah, I heard it. That's where it came in.
It became for you a
historical moment.
No.
She thought you were checking out history.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Checking out history is.
No.
Well, anyway, we've got to clear that we're really that we're concerned with what. No, a chronologist, he gets mixed up between the history, which he gets, but he also thinks that he's responsible to chronology, which is, in other words, he gets a story false because he's tied to this happened after this happened after this happened is a story. Well, it is a story to Leffel, but that isn't the story he's after. It's perfectly apparent. He's just like he's tricked by taking over from Finnegan's Wake. All the business about the head is this part of the city, and the feet are this part of the city, and the body. All of that is a but it was also a terrific. Why he loaded that on? It was just a carapace for the thing. It surrounded because he wasn't going to go at it straight. And then he's going at it straight. When he discovers the library and that there was a fire, that's a discovery. That has nothing to do with the beginning, the end, the middle sort of thing. There was a fire. All right, then that date counts everything about it, that he gets that library right, and wow, he's away. Would be what this is, the particular, the library, the particular, the bottle, then that's but the historians say, well, what do you do with that bottle's here and the library's there? They belong to, he sees they belong together. But the false one is the one, what they do.
Well, but all right, call it the false one.
No,
but a hell of a lot of Protestants is this false one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And what are you going to do with that?
You've got your falsies on.
I don't believe Bill was. As a matter of fact, I think that was probably where Bill was much more himself involved in his poem than in his successes. In the sense of what he was searching for in trying to create this man of the falls, that Mr. Patterson, or whatever he calls him. That figure was a thing that was for Bill inside. Yeah. Of greatest moment. I think if he knew how to get that identity or like stature, because there's certainly the problem here is in both in Mr. Patterson is Mr. Patterson, isn't that? Is a figure which will give himself the satisfaction of filling, and in fact the falsity is. It's obviously a little more of a thing to him than to Fonsi. Right?
Yeah.
I think you can talk with great dryness and literalness about how come he was on that search and what it requires to be on that search. And we'll come back again to that histology, cell matter. Not that dumb completeness sense, but the completeness for Bill Williams of his figure. What you're saying?
Yeah, and the thing that worked in all his particular work, he found so and so leaked from the falls. It operates everywhere. Everything he found in that thing works.
Right. And then he there is that crazy last passage of the river washing all to the sea, where the thing suddenly becomes a.
And as long as the river is language, as long as the river is the rhetoric, that work, I mean, the dwarf under the falls, which really...
I was thinking three instances where you talked about the intent to find the order of event on the one hand, the order of recognition on the other. You go back to Elliot, right?
I don't think there's any history in the way
that. I don't think you're wrong in history.
No, there isn't. There's history.
I think the premise of the past.
She has only borrowed Jesse Weston.
Listen, Jesse Weston was the one who was a historian, so he borrowed. Now, this isn't what Patterson did.
He went to Patterson and
built a picture of it. I don't think the Wasteland was concerned with history. It was concerned with telling the story of the adultery and masking it. Because it was painful, and he didn't want to. And he's got contained in there his own fury, working at the bank, and his wife who is an infomaniac, and he can wear the mask. It's a play. It's a charade, is what it is, and a charade is not history. This doesn't make it not genuine. It's simply, let's say, its interest in history is minimal. It wears historical costumes, and that's not the same thing.
Where the energy derives its presence. But what I'm thinking of is that in the construct, history is certainly present in the construct as an assumption for a line of this order.
As a matter of fact, there was a dominant idea in the 20s that they were in a wasteland, which showed that it had historical force, too. I mean,
you can't be in a wasteland without having history. Who bucked that? The Williams bucked that and King.
No, but I mean, but the force is a pure reality. The life, so you're right there.
Yeah, well, now let's talk about currentness.
Yeah.
Because currentness, right in this room, is probably the today, currentness has replaced any of the, that's another reason.
Yeah, any of this
just
other real finding.
And currentness ought to be examined. As a matter of fact, I think, on the contrary, that what really hides in the word history... And in fact, actually, political history, the dopey meaning is more in truth today than it was when some of its sense was actually in lives. There's no sense in lives today. There is suddenly this enormous thing, currentness, which is actually placing people around only in their own behavior and expression of energy and in the future of that lies actually any chance to both change this society and to emerge again into history, in the sense that I feel the word has which, for example, is what I don't believe Bill in his great work to Tribe. I mean, let's not forget that that guy wrote that American Grain. I mean, you remember the time when you showed me, I think, that Sam Houston passage, which I think is an addition I had, which didn't have that Sam Houston passage. That funny little passage on Sam Houston's life, it's a small, help me here, it's a lot of years since I've looked at the book, but, huh? No, it is a separate, no, that's on Burr, that's your catechism passage. It seems to me it's about this big, the Houston. It's like a chapter of one paragraph.
Yeah, sure.
And it's simply a statement of how Houston, I think Houston, by the way, was kind of the real papa of Bill. That is, he was the guy, of all the American heroes to Bill, who seemed to do what Bill would like to have done. In that funny way in which he became an Indian. No, he lost his wife, didn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that gave up the governorship of Tennessee because he absolutely, something didn't go on between them, and he allowed her to divorce him, and therefore became a no longer a valuable political property, then went back, having been a Cherokee, I think, at 15, he then took off to the West and became a Cherokee again, and then went and reemerged in the Texan Rebellion and became the first president of the Texas Republic before she became part of the United States. Now, the shifting, very beautiful shift, very, John? Yeah.
Wasn't it Houston that went and left the Alamo, too? Isn't it an important point?
You're stalling my thunder, man. Okay. God, what a robber. Hey, Jesus, I'm here to... get as much as I can. Yeah, it's a beautiful story.
You ever been to Alamo?
No. I mean, how many miles away can you hear the guns, by the way? You know how many exactly? You know how many? By the way, you know how many miles Houston was away when he did that thing? Well, what's earshot when you do it like he did it? Do you know the story that we're referring to? Houston did one of those beautiful things. The Alamo was really a lousy story. Like, here these guys were, and the whole goddamn Mexican army is going to come and smash them. Well, Houston rushed off to the provisional capital of Texas at that time, which was over east, and I'd have forgotten how many miles away. It seems to me it was 150 miles or more away. It was over at, I can't remember the place. And he got nothing out of them, nothing out of the representative. So he said, Jesus, we can't stay here. We're going back. He took himself and his orderly or friend or guide, and they were going to go back at least and be there when that thing happened. And he was scared because he knew the time was to even go and get a force to help was small. And he was nervous, and I think they traveled about 3 or 4 hours till sunset. And he got off his horse. And as I remember the story, it's 100 miles from the Alamo. And he put his ear down on the ground like a well-trained Indian. And he read the actual moments of the Alamo battle's end from his ear in the ground. He knew that he could tell from the cannonade of the final charge, and then nothing happened. Then he knew from that cannonade that Alamo had fallen. And do I have it fairly within range of the actual report of this? Oh, I think it's terribly important. It's all relevant exactly to each one of us. What are we capable of in terms of really catching? With what means we got any possible message or event, if we're interested, if we're an interested party, like.
There's nobody else there
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to bring that Houston story to bear, the end of the story, but the Houston case to bear on Bill Williams, because the Bill search for some figure measure, to use that word, which I guess he invented, huh? I mean, because really the measure in Bill was not in the verse question at all. It was in this other place. Now, the real question, it seems to me, that's mooted here is, do you think there's a measure that has in it this thing that has been called story and histology? Is there in that thing a measure? You can kick it or not. I mean,
for example, tries, not tries, tries to find a measure. For his own context, something that will not so much quote proven right, unquote, which is boring, but something that is not in there. I was thinking back and forth as apropos Robert's project, not as that chief use of history, simply names, which you then follow. Not that it's storage, it's curious that all the usual context of the classics at this time, you follow it to some forward thing that is boring. You could say, like, how many books in the library, or something of that kind, or whatever happened to these people, is what most people are asking. You don't go the other way, back to what source was present. That's why, I enjoyed this diagram. So, I mean, that's because, to me, this.
I think I get part of what let's say, would. If we skip the cyclic nature that was in that diagram drawing, and that was because the drawing was as Alan said, something I was using that way, there is something about, this has been on my mind, what is he looking, what is it you're looking for and then finding, and you could miss it, by the way, you could really not find it and have to be at it. It is also like the doctrine of correspondences in relation to everything that has ever happened. You identify and consequently have happened something to you by finding it, and you can find it. You can really find what. See, you have a proposition. This is when you come to a blank about something. It has not happened to you because you haven't found it, and you're here. But actually, the here is so extended that Bill Williams will find Bill Williams not there in that house, but in, finally, what news he can get in any way, ear to the ground, or searching any book or letter, or a scraping on a tree or something, he'll find it in Sam Houston. Now, it isn't he found himself, he's found what happened there, and that's why reading that we find it happened. I mean, you know, Sam Houston can happen in all different ways, because he has to do with the event at times. Each time, why do men have to write history all the time, and why do men have to write poetry all the time? It's an identical act. It's got to find something, and it has to do with that absolutely fugitive second where they are. And it's got to be that quick. That's why you, for one thing, there's lots of practicing finding.
Yeah.
It's the same act, as a matter of fact, of finding what do I feel, or find, in time it isn't any different to go to Houston than to go to what did I do a second before, because you've got to look for that. And much of the time you aren't looking for it, you let it go by.
Yeah, there's a question then.
Who is it writing?
Well, it ought to be clear writers aren't trying to be Christ, Buddha. I settled that with myself long ago. Like I said, if you're going to be Buddha, you'd be doing something different. So, I mean, Buddha sounds like big stuff to me, but I haven't got any illusions I'm going to be a Bodhisattva ever, because I behave very differently and look different. I'm just a poor writer. One thing I settle for.
Well, I don't want to be stuck with that.
I like being stuck with it.
Yeah, well.
we know about that, John.
You're already there. This issue of measure, in the sense of what exists as a measure, one's activity simply to not to treat the language of human species, but to as you say, what news, and the pinch of it, what news.
Well, you know, when William started using that word "major" in Origin and saying none of us had major, and I thought how absolutely absurd. Anything, any conceivable event, as I said about that piece, that some would conceive the poem where the poet isn't interested enough to have anything happen there, but then you find something happening there. You can also measure it. The poet hasn't measured it. That's all, and or even been interested enough in having that happen.
I was thinking, if you, Charles in a book called Mind Letters, speaks of the ego system, in other words, pound, but carries pound as a context, and Blue, in his own activity, is the company he keeps, the company this word, the words he develops for this company come to all the ways he tries it on in terms of what is an active principle of thought. His consistent qualification is to be called a genius, or his consistent qualification on of activity, as opposed coming up to some degree of intellectual or intelligence. But yet that always depends upon the quality of the man speaking, which is finally not good enough. I mean, it's men standing by his word. All these measures are arbitrary to the actual life that may be going on along with this turning. So what I'm getting to now is to find out for oneself what can we use to measure this time? How to make, you said it's completeness, but it's completeness. But how to put ourselves, or how to cite ourselves, how to place ourselves in advance, how to take, because we are, Charles is right, and he's right about the sense that nothing will happen to us, or in McNamara's assurance, a simple statement, flat statement like this came out of the computer, that nothing will happen to us in our time. We have two choices. Either we stand, so to speak, uncreated, or we stand in the chaos of our own, flutter, person, or else we take on, so there is always a choice. But the choice is misleading, simply that it does not, a choice is an agent, not an end. So that we have the issue of being somewhere,
but I thought that Pound's last, yeah. That's a beautiful thing when Pound recently said, all my life I thought I had something to say.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful thing, yeah. Because it seems to me that we can even use that to speak of all that we're talking about right now. In fact, to meet that lady who's talking about those three men who talked all the time, by the way, as far as I know. I don't know how much Buddha talked, but certainly Socrates and Christ talked like mad. In fact, they talked, as far as I know, that's what they did. Their life was a life of talk. Let's not make a literaryism to get in here at all. It's silly. There is this tremendous record of Christ talking. He was obviously one of the sharpest talkers that's been on the earth yet, and what he had to say is worth listening to, and we got the record of it. What's the concern about the literary problem against having something to say? I don't think there's anybody here that's writing that isn't doing it because they feel they have something to say. And if it should break down, you won't write. But you also won't have anything to say, I do believe. So I think this is it.
Well, that reminds me about Gertrude Stein, about someday there will be a history of each one who is now living.
God, it goes on for about 10 pages. I used to be able to recite it because I had the record. But it goes on for one page, but I somehow kicked that out of my mind.
And then the history of each and every one down to the minutest particular. With all of them, all the most gradations.
Place, the history is someplace ahead, like we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Someday history will be. I think that has come, as a matter of fact, and I think one of the errors of our whole conversation is that we're leaving out what transposes that, which is exactly that the minutest particulars are now the only thing that's interesting, and that if you don't get that registered, and we're all in the process of finding out how the hell can you make language and or act register that. It's curious that Crick should use that word, complete. Because I'd like to take it all away from him and science, where it's really been, by the way, and in fact, the terror of that registration that you're bringing up is that it's possible today to produce human beings who are altogether the history of that person is so completely known that everything they're going to do for their whole lifetime is usable. As a matter of fact. In fact, that's just the intention of the men who are getting the Nobel Prize.
Yeah,
there was five of them about 6 months ago in the New York Times book review. They all spoke out and said exactly what kind of an absolutely dependable human being. And I don't mean that bullshit of industrial employment. I mean the real creation of a species who has a history so well known that they are without fear. They are utterly capable of anything that's not called human, and that the biggest hang-up, the proposed biggest hang-up of the human race is that it's still primitive because it knows fear. And it's about fear. It's about time we got rid of that one, and these boys are in laboratories getting rid of it. So that leaves, I mean, I think the completeness is completed. And the completeness that we're talking about, we really are opening up here, is the only thing which matters, which is that you damn well have something to say and or do that is of such effect that it is complete in its occurrence. And it just bombs to use the verb the way we use it, it bombs the thing right then and there and frees it for any person that isn't yet themselves complete. And those who are complete in that other sense are really, they're not here. And they're not going to hear unless we affect a change of a real change of the society or of the imagined human thing, so that that we topple in on them, as I think those men that lady mentioned sure toppled in on. In fact, they toppled in on whatever was going on at their time.
Peter, rumors everywhere.
Absolutely.
It's so powerful that even if nobody has written anything, the breakthrough, the personal breakthrough those people had and experienced and produced on the guys around them, carried it as a wave, like Creeley keeps talking about an event. Boy, talk about an event. The event of those persons, the actual physical being of those persons was of such nature and of such a power that we still feel it. That's why those cats say that.
Well, if you take both Socrates and Christ, they were imagined and written about before they occurred. I mean, to find them as occurring, they occur before they occur. I mean, you find pictures of Christ before Christ arrives on this, before we might make that little mark called a man's life. It's not a man's life, it extends backward and forward in order to happen. And so does Socrates. I mean, look at how much there is that within which this event, and then the event tends to disappear, but where a lot, I meant there are many before, a poll comes afterwards, but beforehand you can find people making this figure.
Yeah.
Now we're redundant again. This is history.
Yeah, but I meant
I
meant to get away.
This is like talking about 1492. We suddenly got these great figures turned into those dumb things, which we all know that's all we got, and we got it, and we're breaking up. We want to get the thing real.
All right, now then, the next thing is this. the next thing is this, that the guy happened, and after or during or at the same time, the incarnation of any person, of any man or woman or child happened that way. That's the whole point of persons, is that they come on and are and cause it and cause the reaction and cause an event or are.
All right, but then, Phil, the direct line is the lesson of the master to you. Isn't it? I mean, how did the man called Christ drop off for the weekend there and on between Tuesday and Thursday and come back in on Thursday? One knows damn well that he made some decision in Bethany that caused him to walk right back in Thursday and take what he had himself provoked. No, I mean, I don't see what...
I think that end of the story is a sad mistake, probably.
No, I don't like that. Which end are you choosing?
Which one?